P-O-W-M-I-A. America should be ashamed. How can you look the other way? That ain't the way that we were raised. That ain't the
way. A sound that has haunted this country for the past generation. Bring them home. Are they there? If they are, where are they? And through it all, that last legacy of the Vietnam War has haunted this country. There was leverage, of course. The notion was that the Vietnamese wanted very much to hook up with us as a trading partner, maybe opening the door for other things, but first and foremost, at least let some dollars flow into that country. And that was our leverage to try and find out more about our missing. Well, in recent years, the doors have opened up somewhat. There have been Americans who have gone over there in joint search parties with the Vietnamese. How open? Well, that'll be the subject for some discussion here tonight. Suffice it to say that the president, who once so bitterly opposed that war as a student, has now become the man who has ended the trade embargo against the country of Vietnam. For better or for worse, the doors have opened up already. We have seen the beginning of what apparently will be a cola war. Pepsi-Cola, by the way, for the record, got off out of the starting gate the earliest. But Coca-Cola will not be far behind, and all kinds of products are now jumping onto the shelves in places like Ho Chi Minh City and Hanoi. Joining us tonight in studio are two people with very different views about the advisability of this U.S. government policy shift. We have with us in studio Virginia Foote, director of the U.S.-Vietnam Trade Council, in favor of this policy change, and Tom Birch, chairman of the National Vietnam Veterans Coalition, and he is very much opposed to the president's lifting of the trade embargo. We'll start with Ms. Foote. Why is this good?
Well, I think it's good for several reasons. I think it's good because the accounting for the missing in action will continue now that we have made this bold step. It's almost overdue, but I think it's come at the right time, and we'll see continued results in the future. It's also good for American companies. It's good for the Vietnamese economy. It's good for regional security, and it's good for long-term relations, again, between the United States and Vietnam.
All right, Mr. Birch, why is it bad?
Well, we feel like we've been betrayed as Vietnam veterans because we don't have the issue of live Americans that have been seen over the last 10 years in Vietnam resolved. For instance, we have over 10,000 secondhand reports and over 1,500 firsthand reports. Some of the people polygraphed that said there were live Americans held captive against their will in Vietnam. We now understand that the Vietnamese have moved into Sam Nui province in Laos under North Vietnamese guard, and we feel that by the lifting the embargo that we have lost our major leverage to make them finally cough up and admit that they have these people and return them to us. We don't think they'll ever admit that they have them now because they don't want to take a chance that diplomatic relations would be forestalled or the embargo put back on.
Before I return to Ms. Foote, I have to follow up on this to a certain extent here. It has never at all been clear to me what possible rationale there would be for the North Vietnamese, who are relatively sophisticated in terms of the ways of the world. They have a relative grasp of the United States, so they wouldn't have been able to play U.S. public opinion for the ultimate outcome of that war. Nobody with two digits in their IQ could possibly have assumed that they could have kept Americans over the years and then ever used them, because the minute the fact that they had kept them came out, they would be a pariah for another generation. Now, maybe some of the various tribes people in places like Laos, some people not really clued into the ways of the world, and goodness knows that the Vietnamese regime does not control every single square foot of Indochina, but surely not the North Vietnamese. It would seem to me the only thing they could do under circumstances like today would be to go out and shoot these people, because they are a big excess baggage liability.
And that's precisely what we're concerned about and why we didn't want the embargo to be lifted, because we think that's the most reasonable thing that they would do.
Now, wait a minute.
Now,
rather than having these people
coming back now, this whole situation started in 1973 when they had the Paris Peace Accords. A secret letter was given by Nixon to the Vietnamese promising $4.3 billion reconstruction aid. We feel like the Vietnamese held back 700 prisoners of war to see if these monies were paid,
which
they were not.
Well, obviously, it didn't seem to convince a number of people in this country. I want to give Ms. Foote here a chance to respond to this, because over the years we keep hearing about them. They're there, they're not there, they're there, they're not there. In fact,
absolutely.
Is there a smoking gun on the POWs? I was over there, I'd love them back too. Is there, in your view, a smoking gun that they're there?
These numbers are absolutely wild. There are less than 70 men whose fate we don't know a lot about and whose remains we aren't seeking right now. There is not a possible chance that there are 700 men, unless there were 700 men we don't even know we sent to the war 20 years ago. There are less than 70 cases where we are not absolutely certain about what happened to the men.
Well, now, given the fact that we weren't just sort of picking people up off the streets, there was a reasonable processing of names and through the draft, people who volunteered for the service and the like, it would seem that we ought to be able to have a pretty good handle. For example, if there are 700 people that unaccounted for, that we ought to be able to apply names and serial numbers to them, Mr. Birch.
Well, you can't do it completely with 700, but our biggest problem first has been getting these reports declassified, these 10,000 reports. As you know, we had a big slug out through Congress and the Senate Select Committee before we finally got these released, and they only released them up to 1989, and only in the last few months have we been able to get them. Now, the problem is neither you, Jim, nor our guest here have ever read these reports. When you start reading these 10,000 reports from different people, camp guards, people who are inmates, people have nothing to gain by seeing it. They start stacking up, and we're able to cluster them. After all, we used to be Green Berets. We used to handle military intelligence. We used to do this. We know how to evaluate them, and we've been able to cluster these people to tell exactly where they were up to 1989, and of course, now they've moved them into layers.
Well, now, they're still... The idea that there may have been there at one time, I mean, it's been a long time, and the conditions certainly were never particularly, Geneva Convention level in Vietnamese prison camps. What basis do we have for assuming they're still alive? And then I want Ms. Wood to reply.
Well, I think first you need to start with, about 5 years ago, we bombed Libya after picking up one radio intercept that the Libyans had bombed a restaurant in Germany. On this instance, we not only have these live sighting reports, we have radio and intercepts from NSA. We have aerial photography that indicates that they're, frankly, I've talked to
a number
of leaders.
How did you get a hold of radio intercepts from NSA?
I can't bring them out here because they're classified. I've certainly seen some of them.
Wild conversation we're having.
Very recently, and when I was in Cambodia, I was meeting with Prince Sihanouk's people, and they told me, you know, your government doesn't want these people returned. We get reports about them all the time, but your government's not interested.
Well, let's
we have to get that answer resolved, and that's why we're against the embargo
here, we're going to a break here.
This is all absolutely wild. The former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Vesey, doesn't believe one bit of any of this. Admiral Larson just returned from the region. General Needham's been running an absolute crackerjack operation out there. The idea of accusing the United States military, the United States government, for some massive cover-up of abandoning 700 men is absolutely fiction. And there are few groups that peddle this notion, but it is not widely held by the veterans community, nor the families. I've traveled with veterans. I know family members. This is a small group that peddle this notion, and not a whit of it has been proven.
We'll take a break, and when we come, briefly, and then we're going to take a break.
You got the American Legion just came out against us with their 3 million members. What about General Ty, who said there's been a cover? What about Colonel Peck, who ran
the
POW officer, who said
it's
a... What about Colonel Howard, the most decorated veteran we have, who said they tried to kill him when he came forward with the POWs?
Wait. Let's not sling around stuff like they tried to kill him. Please, pronouns cover a lot of dirt. Who tried to kill who?
His superiors in DIE assigned him to a mission in Laos that he felt that we would never come back from because they gave the wrong coordinates as to where he's land.
You're saying that a member of the U.S. military is openly accusing his superiors of setting him up to be killed.
Yes, sir. And
because he knew too much.
And he did it in 1986.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to deal with the reality of the situation, since there's clearly no agreement on what is the reality of what has gone before. We will come back, and we will deal with the reality of here and now, which is we're going to trade with them. That fact has been decided, and we will take a look at the pro and the con and the advisability or inadvisability of that. Tom Birch, chairman of the National Vietnam Veterans Coalition, is one of our guests, along with Virginia Foote, director of the U.S. Vietnam Trade Council. We're dealing with the guys in Hanoi, and we'll take a look at what that means after these messages.
Carpeting from Sears can make all the difference in your home. And now more than ever, all the difference in the price. Right now, save from $5 to $16 a square yard on all closeout Color Made Easy Carpeting. And save $10 a square yard on two great Berber carpets through February 5th. From start to finish, Sears guarantees your satisfaction. So don't miss our lowest prices ever during our closeout of Color Made Easy and two great Berber carpets at Sears, bringing America's best to you.
Can we start talking about regularity and constipation without getting embarrassed? A company called Yerba Prima pioneered balanced natural fiber products to help end constipation and provide the health benefits of fiber. The National Cancer Institute says the average American only gets half the fiber needed. Only Yerba Prima supplies the beneficial balance of all five different fibers. Yerba Prima, a full line of fiber for better health, in capsules and powders at Kmart, Eckerd's, Payless drugstores, and natural food stores.
I would get air sick and car sick and boat sick.
Now June Sutherland of Dade City, Florida, uses Marazine tablets and takes the sickness out of travel.
Marazine is my crutch, enabling me to travel, and it worked great. It keeps me without having motion sickness.
Marazine contains a medically proven ingredient which won't cause all the marked drowsiness Dramamine may cause.
Shortly, I'll be on a cruise. I know I won't be seasick because I have my Marazine. That's why I prefer it, and it works.
Get Marazine tablets today and take the sickness out of your travel. Use only as directed.
Relive the action of Notre Dame's thrilling 1993 football season with Mutual Radio Sports' Irish Year in Review audio cassette. A game-by-game review featuring all the highlights, the upset win over Michigan, the game of the decade with Florida State, the 1994 Cotton Bowl. Recapture the excitement. Sent $12.95 to Mutual Radio Sports, Arlington, Virginia, 22202. $12.95 to Mutual Radio Sports, Arlington, Virginia, 22202. Order now. Allow 4 to 6 weeks for delivery.
If you're a mom, the first thing you want to do when you hear that sound is to make it stop. And the best way to do it is with Mentholatum Cherry Chest Rub for kids. It's new, and it's the only over-the-counter product specially made for young children that relieves their congestion and stops their cough at the same time. As soon as you rub it on, its cherry aromatic vapors start to penetrate. That means you both start feeling better fast.
Thanks, Mom.
Mentholatum Cherry Chest Rub. They say it's for kids, but I think it's for moms, too. Use only as directed.
So what's wrong with our TV?
In the TV repair game, it's called lack of snackus.
Lack of snackus?
Not enough snacking going on in front of it.
Not enough snacking?
You know, I took the liberty of going through your kitchen. Not one bag of potato chips, corn chips, tortilla chips in sight.
That's ridiculous.
TVs and VCRs need lively crunching to perform good. So munch on some peanuts, pretzels, popcorn,
I never heard of
pork rinds, beef jerky.
You're saying if we'd enjoyed some crunchy snacks, our TV would be just fine?
Right, that'll be $75.
$75?
And maybe you ought to plug it in, too.
Plug it in?
This message brought to you during Snack Food Month by the Snack Food Association.
We've had an exhaustive search across their countryside. We have 107 American military on the ground, going where they want in Vietnam today. This is a remarkable process, but it is all subject to the cooperation of the Vietnamese.
Senator John Kerry, Massachusetts Democrat, who is in favor of the lifting of the trade embargo on Vietnam. Our guests in studio have differing opinions about that. The senator, by the way, adds that if the Vietnamese don't continue to cooperate after the embargo is lifted on the MIA POW issue, then President Clinton can always put it back into effect. That's an interesting point to raise first with Tom Birch, chairman of the National Vietnam Veterans Coalition. Would it in fact be possible, once the genie is out of the bottle and the American businesses are, of course, starved for customers and outlets and the like, is it really possible to stop this trade once it gets started?
Well, it certainly is always possible legally, but it's highly improbable that it would, because these companies, of course, are going to be signing contracts, moving equipment in there, making major investment. And the downside of that would be so tremendous, I think that it would be impractical to happen. So I think we've seen the last of regression on the embargo. The decision is made and it's now lifted and it's going to stay on.
Virginia Foote, director of the U.S. Vietnam Trade Council and a person in favor of the lifting of the embargo. That option mentioned by Senator Kerry, is it in fact a realistic option? To bring back the sanctions.
Sure, because initially the relationship with Vietnam will be American products being sold to Vietnam. There won't be much investment initially, and there'll be very few Vietnamese products coming to the United States. So yes, of course, it's always a threat. We have it against any country. But more important, the MIA cooperation is going to continue. I think what is required is for that cooperation to continue and that we reassess it all the time and that every lead be able to be followed up. And that should continue.
From an economic point of view, and it is certainly one that I don't put at the top of the agenda, but from an economic point of view, what does it mean for this country, Ms. Foote?
Well, it's a little hard to know precisely what it means. Vietnam is a country of 70 million people with an economy that's grown. Well, they're purchasing quite a few products now. They're buying televisions, VCRs, consumer products, aircraft. They're quite a bit of investment going into the infrastructure now. The trade this year is expected to be $7 billion. Probably $2 billion of that will be buying American products.
Quite a bit in excess of what I would have thought. All right. Is that worth it, Mr. Birch?
Well, first thing, I disagree with her assessment of the situation. This country has a per capita income of only $200 to $300 an individual. I think they have to rebuild that infrastructure, and what they really want right now initially is investment in the country to build their roads, the telecommunications, their banking system. And so they're going to be wanting to borrow money, have investment in there, borrow money from international institutions that are funded by U.S. taxpayers. It's going to be a long time for these businesses to see enough money generated to go back, and of course that's only after factories are built, taking away American jobs as they manufacture goods to sell back to the United States.
Obviously a lot of inexpensive consumer items, such as the cola war we mentioned, obviously a number of Americans are going to economically benefit right off the bat.
Well, when they buy 10 Boeing aircraft, there'll be a few jobs that created by that in the Seattle area. I don't think Boeing would like, or the group in Seattle that works for Boeing would like to see those sales lost. Caterpillar plans to sell equipment.
But we can also have some risky investments.
GE will be producing locomotives. There'll be major sales made in the next year.
And one of the problems, of course, with the risky investments is the oil companies dealing in the Spratly Islands, which are contested by China, Taiwan, and Vietnam. And, of course, these oil companies will get in confrontations probably within China. And once again, the Vietnamese will try to embroil us in their controversies in Southeast Asia, as was done in the early 60s.
Well, what do you mean, embroil us in their controversies?
No, he's got the facts wrong about this.
One of the things the Vietnamese want to do is have the oil rights developed in the Spratly Islands.
We could both
Islands,
talk over each other all evening.
Why
don't you listen to me?
Well, I'll tell you what I will do. I will just take charge of the program now. Then let's Mr. Birch make his charge about the embroiling, and then we'll have Ms. Foote respond. Mr. Birch.
The Spratly Islands are contested both by Taiwan, mainland China, and the Vietnamese. The Vietnamese have been a little bit more aggressive recently trying to get that because what's important about them is their oil rights.
Why would we be involved?
Well, because the oil companies want to develop oil rights in Vietnam. They're one of the reasons the main people pushing for the lifting of the embargo so they can develop those oil rights. The Vietnamese have promised very lucrative concessions to these people to develop these oil rights, including the Spratly Islands. Once our American oil companies get into Spratly Islands, you can assure you that China is going to want to contest that, which means a potential confrontation first between the Vietnamese and the Chinese, but also with the American oil companies in the meantime.
All right, let's let Ms. Foote respond to that.
Well, I ask the U.S. to intervene.
We'll let Ms. Foote respond to it.
The facts of the matter are quite the reverse of that. It is China who is moving aggressively into the Spratly Islands, and Vietnam who is asking that there be an international forum in which Vietnam and the Philippines and Indonesia and Taiwan and China all participate in deciding what is the resolution of the Spratly Islands. Vietnam has not, will not, has never allowed, invited, or offered those territories to any American company, to any foreign company. It is China that is doing that, not Vietnam.
There was one thing that you mentioned a moment ago that you wanted to bring up as we'll be heading for phone calls shortly, Mr. Birch. You find it interesting, the timing of the announcement of the end of the embargo. Why is now so interesting to you?
Well, a phenomenal opportunity has been lost by the United States. Recently, it's been announced in the papers that there was a Vietnamese Party Congress. The Vietnamese Communist Party had been having its sessions in Hanoi. Now, what is not been publicly released until very recently, is that the Vietnamese Communist Party merged with the National Coalition of Vietnamese Parties under the leadership of Juan Viet Cung, who's going to take over as prime minister of that country in the first week of March. Now, what that's, he is a democratic leader, reformist leader. By the embargo being lifted at the time President Clinton did, he's given the credit to the communist regime, helping bolster the hardliners, as opposed to waiting and giving the new reform leader a chance to get to reap the credit of that and build a new democratic form of government.
Well, now, obviously, that is certainly not the motivation for the Clinton administration. The worst you could say would be that they blew it again on foreign affairs.
Oh, quite the contrary. Winston Lord was over there meeting with Prime Minister Kitt, who knew that he had been defrocked at a Politburo member meeting in December, and he wanted the State Department to help bolster his government.
Why would the United States be interested in bolstering a hardline communist regime and fighting a reformist?
This is a wonderful novel.
Because they think it's better to deal with an existing regime that they know about than unknown factors coming to power.
That certainly is at variance with both practice
and
incidentally, we're going to let Miss Foote respond to it right now. Miss Foote,
well, I wouldn't know where to begin to tackle that one. The moderates are in ascension in Vietnam. They are the ones who want to normalize with the United States. It's clear what's happening in Vietnam. There is both economic reform and political reform going on. Where this scheme of that Clinton was trying to help the hardliners come from, I haven't a clue.
That's what his advisors want to do. I can't honestly say that the president considered that. He knew about it because I saw it.
How come they don't want to get rid of Boris Yeltsin then? Obviously, he's a reformer. How come we're looking for reform elsewhere, but only in Vietnam are we in favor of the hardliners? That's kind of
inconsistent,
wouldn't
you say? I can't address the Russian situation. I'm just sure of the Vietnamese situation. Situation can be referred by conferring with the Vietnamese ambassador to the UN. He confirmed what I just told you.
Oh, that is absolute madness. There is no way the ambassador to the United Nations.
Have you talked to him in the last 24 hours?
I certainly have.
You have not on this issue, I can assure you, because he will confirm it if he's called.
This is madness.
What's his name?
I don't know his name. I was told by the new prime minister that he would confirm it.
Uh-huh. Well, that's interesting.
Prime Minister. Well, tell you what, we'll take a break. We're going to come back with your call, 703-418-1500. 703-418-1500. Where do you come down on the idea of renewed trade with Vietnam? We'll be back after these messages.